We're in conversation with the one, the only Canadian rock legend, Kim Mitchell. Kim, it's an honor to have you on the show with us today and to talk about your recent honor, being inducted into the Canadian Songwriters Hall of Fame. First and foremost, how does that feel?
It was a big one. It was kind of touching. I've had platinum albums presented to me and Juno Awards, and all that stuff's really nice. This one just kind of caught me by surprise. I wasn't expecting something like this, just given the company that I'm in there with Neil Young and all these people. And,
oh, some really Leonard, big names. Yeah, 100%.
Leonard Cohen. And I mean, some people are like, Paul Anka? Well, Paul Anka wrote one of the biggest songs ever, My Way, you know? I did it my way. So I'm like, wow, okay. I wonder if there's ever a group photo. If I walked in, though, they'd even know who I was.
So tell me a little bit about the songwriting process for you. I know that you're definitely a collaborator and you've written with many different people. You've actually had a long-time collaborator, but that process for you, kind of walk us through it a little bit. What's it like? Can you just spit them out in 2 seconds, or is it a bit of a process?
Well, sometimes it happens pretty quick, and sometimes it's like crawling up the side of a mountain to get to the other side. I always say that never give up on a song. But sometimes it's like, well, if you're having a lot of trouble with a song, maybe the song's just not worth finishing. I think that songs kind of naturally fall together. But my process, I've always seen it as these ideas are all floating around up above us in the universe. They sort of come striking down through a guy like myself or another songwriter. And we become the conduit for writing it. And I feel like the song's roadie all the time. I don't feel like I'm coming up with these ideas. They're coming to me, and they're telling me, okay, yeah, that's a good verse. Okay, let's get to, no, that's not quite what I'm after for the chorus. It's almost like the song is chattering on the side of, you know, a little dialogue going on your shoulder and saying, yes, no, not like that. Yeah, okay, and then I'm done. So that's kind of how I see it. And I know there's a few other songwriters see it like that, too. I think Bob Dylan and Neil Young actually sort of think of it like that, too.
You've got such a massive catalog of hits, especially on Canadian rock radio. I mean, I grew up hearing you all the time on Q107, growing up in the GTA. Were there any particular songs that went on to be big hits that when you were writing them, you knew in your gut, this is going to be a big one?
No, you never know. I've never known any of that. As a matter of fact, my producer who did my most recent record, he's had a lot of hits too. He's had number one songs by Keith Urban. He did one with Public's Apologize. He's had number one Katy Perry songs, all kinds of stuff he did. And he said, not once did he ever realize in his recordings that it would do anything. We're just in the process of making a song to where we love it. I think that's what songwriters just need to realize. On that, we have no control what will happen and what won't happen. So, but no, I've never, when Patio Lanterns was done, I had no idea. I actually wanted to take it off the record. Well, I did, because we had 13 songs, and I had such a hard time singing that song. It took me 3 days to get a vocal take in the studio, and I went, hey, man, you can take Patio Lanterns off. If I never have to sing that song again, I'd be okay.
Well, we're glad it made it on the record.
Yeah, I'm glad I listened to them when they said, no, we kind of like it. Let's. Why don't we keep it on? I'm like, okay, all right.
And, of course, you spent a lot of time in radio yourself on Q107 doing the afternoon drive for a number of years. Did you ever have to fight with your programming manager or director to not have to play your songs while you were on the air? Hey, I'm Kim Mitchell. This is me, Patio Lanterns.
Well, that's a really good question. I mean, the show is programmed days in advance.
Yeah.
Or at least 24 hours in advance. And there's Canadian content we have to play. So the computer would spit up, well, it's time to play Kim Mitchell's song. And if it was on my show, lots of times I would punt it. I'd say to the producer, no, it's not playing my song on the show. Because every time I did, I would always get hate email. Oh, do you want to play your song again? It's like, no, man, you know, the computers do it. Do you actually think that I walk into the studio and pick my own stuff? You're like, okay, I'm going to play this song, and then I'm going to play. No, it's all done. It's all done before you walk in. But so I just got a little tired of that. And near the end of my career, a radio career, I just like, no more Kim Mitchell on my show.
Right on.
Forget it.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I'm sick of seeing emails from people who make up email addresses like, I hate Kim Mitchell.com.
Oh, gosh. You've written so many different songs between Max Webster and your solo career, but is there anything that you just still love? I mean, you've obviously you can't wait to get back on the road after all this COVID nonsense and start performing for your audiences again, but what song do you never get tired of?
Don't get tired of any of them. This whole thing of performing songs, it's a moving target all the time from the standpoint of, you know, I'll try this song in the set, or I'll work this song up, and we'll do that. And I watch the audience's reaction, and if they're taking off going for a beer or grabbing a hot dog, what's the point of playing that song anymore? So that's why I say I'm all about customer service and rock and roll. I like to play songs that they've come to hear and want to enjoy. I want them to enjoy themselves. So, and I'm fine playing all of them. They're all my kids. And the beauty of the whole live experience is I'm just on stage trying to get some energy transmitted between the musicians and myself, and that energy radiating out into an audience, they pick up on. I mean, it's kind of a cosmic thing that goes on in the live thing like that. So when I see them light up, I'm happy.
So it's been a long pandemic for you then, waiting to get back out on the stage.
Well, I think at first I enjoyed it because I've been on the road for years and years and years, and so I kind of dropped my shoulders and went, okay, a break, that's good. I'll walk the dog, I'll eat some healthy food, I'll get some sleep. Then after a while, it's like, okay, I got this. Like, when can I get back out, you know?
Well, Kim, it's certainly no secret that you're our neighbor. You've been living in Collingwood for quite some time now. What drew you up to the South Georgian Bay area?
Well, actually, we had a place up there and then a place in the city, and I took the place in Collingwood. And, man, it was just great. And the kids were little. We boated out of Penetang, and fell in love with Georgian Bay. So there's a song called My Georgian Bay on the new record.
Oh, wow. That is a great tribute to this area.